Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. I'm so thankful that God is here too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad we've got his word and we can open it up tonight. It's so very precious. And I just thank God. He's helped us in so many ways. I know we have a faithful God. He knows how to help us. And I do want to say it's been a busy end of the month, and thank God he helped me to get through those details. And then my very good friend from Minnesota, Brother Tim, came and helped me with some things around the house that were very needy, and thank God for that. I was able to help me to get some of the stuff out of my closet upstairs where the ceiling is falling, and it still, of course, needs to be fixed, but you know, at least I got the stuff out. Some of it was pretty heavy for me. I don't think I could have done it, and a little more ceiling fell. Oh, thank God he didn't get hurt, or I didn't get hurt, but anyway, God has helped us, and I thank God he does hear our cries. He does know our needs even before we ask, and I'm so thankful for the mighty God we serve. Praise the Lord. It's such a blessing. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for these opportunities. Oh, God, we don't know what tomorrow may hold. Oh, God, we don't know what is ahead. But, oh, God, we know that you have promised that you would be with us even until the end of the world. As long as we can hold on and believe thee and do right and live for thee, God. And, oh, God, to be faithful, Lord, for you expect us to be faithful. Oh, God, you expect us to do your will, Lord. And, oh, God, to have faith, Lord. And, oh, God, to do those things that are ordained in thy scripture. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help us here tonight. I pray that you'd talk to our hearts. I pray that you would use this word. Oh, God, you know all things. Oh, God, you know our needs even before we ask. And I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you would move in a very special way, move in our hearts. Help us to get ready for the great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, God, help us to be prepared, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, nothing, oh, God, would be worth it to miss out on the greatest moment that we could ever imagine. Oh, Lord, thy coming, thy soon return, Lord. And, oh, God, that great need to be right when we stand before thee. Oh, Lord, minister to us tonight. Talk to us. Use this word. Oh, God, I give it to you, Lord, and ask the Lord that you'd orchestrate it, that you'd use it, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move in it. Oh, God, that you'd give me the ability and the authority and the anointing in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. And, oh, God, let the devil be rebuked. Oh, God, in every work of darkness, Lord. Oh, God, work in us, Lord. Oh, God, help us to be, oh, Lord, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, God, holy and without blemish. Oh, Lord Jesus, get us ready, Lord, so we can stand before you in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. Yes, our Lord is coming soon. We don't know the day of his appearing, but my, all these things that we're seeing, it just alerts us. You know, we have these signs to know that, you know, it's not going to be long. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Amen. And oh my, it's going to mean everything to be right in God's sight when we stand before him. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise God. Well, I plan to call this message tonight, God's Peculiar People. And I know we've kind of dealt with that a little bit. I know Brother Samuel talked about how we are God's jewels. And it goes right along with that in many ways. But we'll just see this, what God gave me here tonight. And oh, I pray that he would use it for his name's sake. Amen. Praise the Lord, God's peculiar people. You know, that word peculiar, it might sound kind of strange, but actually it's a very beautiful word. In the Hebrew, it means to shut up. And it also indicates a jewel. are something very special, something proper, something good. And in the Greek, the meaning acquisition comes from it. Oh my, God's people, God's treasure, you know, those that he died for, those that he esteems very highly. And oh, what a privilege that he would call us out of this world and put us into his glorious kingdom. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at some scripture here tonight as we begin here. Let's go to the book of Exodus here to start tonight. And oh, we'll look at chapter 19 here to begin. Praise the Lord. These were words that God spoke through Moses. And anyway, it was right before the commandments were given there on Mount Sinai. But if we can look at this, if just read a little portion here, I think you'll understand why we're going here. Praise the Lord. It says in Exodus 19, verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. Verse 3 tells us, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Can you just imagine that moment when God was speaking to Moses? And, you know, he's talking out of the mountain. He's not like he was visible, but, you know, his voice was audible, and oh my, as he came forth to declare all his will for the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. And yes, he had called them out of Egypt. They had, oh yes, been miraculously taken out of Egypt, and it was as if God had borne them on eagle's wings. Oh, it was an amazing story. And he said, and brought you unto myself. They had been reserved as something special, something set apart, something peculiar. Amen. So Moses was instructed to go on and tell them if they would obey God's voice and if they would keep God's covenant, then this is how God would regard them. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. And yes, besides that, he said, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Oh, yes, a holy nation meaning a people that were set apart, that were separated from the unbelievers, from the idolaters, from those that didn't know God. Oh, those that weren't called out. They were separated to be a kingdom, a priest. A priest is an intercessor. And oh yes, that was the privilege that he had given his people, that they would be a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation, called out to be the children of God, called out to be his peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, his jewel. Oh, yes, his acquisition. Praise the Lord. Amen. And thus Moses did speak that unto the children of Israel. I'd like to turn now to Deuteronomy and go to the 26th chapter. And of course, we know that the book of Deuteronomy is like Moses' farewell address to the Israelites. And he spoke it right before he died. He's giving them all their final instructions. A lot of it is a review of the things that they've gone through. They are reminders and things that he wanted to point out before he left this world. Amen. So here, as we go to the 26th chapter of Deuteronomy, I'd like us to look down at verse 15 and just see how this is referenced here. It says in verse 15, and oh yes, Moses is talking, and yes, it's like a prayer actually right here, but he's talking to the children of Israel, and you know, he's trying to, you know, help them to know that which is essential for them to know. Verse 15, look down from my holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Oh, the good promises of God. And that's what they had to look forward to. God had promised them a very fruitful land once they made it through that wilderness. And of course, it turned out to be a very long journey because of all their unbelief and all their wrongdoings. But finally, oh, it was getting to that point where they were soon going to enter in. And oh, yes, he's beseeching the Lord to look down from his holy dwelling place, his holy habitation from heaven, and beseeching God to bless his people and the land that they had been given, that had been sworn unto them by their fathers. A land, a good land, that floweth with milk and honey. Oh, yes, milk and honey represents blessings. Oh, fruitfulness, you know, good things that would come forth. He went on to say, verse 16, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. You know, to this day, God wants people to put their whole heart, all their motives, all their being into serving God. He doesn't want us to be half-hearted, you know, to be following him a little bit and doing everything else we want to do on the side or, you know, for the most. No, he is looking for a people that esteem his word highly, value it, oh yes, with all their heart, and not only that, they keep it and do it. Oh yes, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Oh, how we need to love God's word, and oh yes, put it deep within and follow it with all our heart. And he goes on to say, as he's talking to those children of Israel, thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God. In other words, they had affirmed that God was their God. Amen. The Lord was their God. And they had avouched to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. Amen. That was so necessary. They were going to be the people of God. They had to do God's will. They had to follow after him. You know, God had set them apart. He did not want them to do the ways of the heathen, to follow after the ways of the other people, to do those things that were abominations, to fall into those traps. And yes, to bring forth idols, to bow down and serve them. No, that was absolutely forbidden. Verse 18 tells us, and the Lord hath avouched or affirmed thee this day to be his peculiar people. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, his shut up ones, those that he had reserved for himself, his special treasure. Amen. His jewels. Oh, praise the Lord. That's how God looked for his people. Or that's what he was hoping from his people. And yes, that was his desire. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Oh, praise the Lord, following the Lord with all the heart. I mean, you know, sometimes it might seem very strange to everybody else. Most people don't get it. Most people don't really follow the Lord. In fact, you get talking to most anybody, and you soon realize they don't know very much of God's word at all. In fact, you know, with all the versions of the Bible these days, I mean, oh, they have taken away greatly from the true word of God. The people are living in confusion. Oh, these days, people don't even know what sin is. Oh, it's a very confused world because God's word has become strange to people. People haven't esteemed it. They haven't loved it. And here we are in this time period. We have access to God's word. We can still find Bibles. We can still open them up and read them. But, you know, in a lot of cases, they're just sitting on a shelf getting dusty. Or maybe they're opened up once or twice a year. Maybe a couple verses are read occasionally. Oh my, no, we need to love this word. We need to hide it in our hearts. Oh my, we need to be often in it and pondering it and thinking of it and meditating on it. Amen. But yes, that was God's desire. Those Israelite people would be his peculiar people, as he had promised them, as he had promised thee, it says, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. You know, how could you keep his commandments if you didn't know them? Something tells me that a lot of people are not too keen on what the scripture says. I just have this feeling that a lot of it is ignored and just skipped over and excused. I just have that feeling. I know it's true. But in order to keep his commandments, we have to know his commandments. They have to come to mind, and we have to be resolved to keep them. Amen. And verse 19 tells us, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made. That was his hope, that they would be his own selective people. His chosen people, his great treasure, his peculiar nation. Amen. And he goes on to say, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. Oh, praise the Lord. That was God's desire for these people. Oh, they would honor him in their praises, in his name, with great honor, giving glory to God, that they might be that holy, set apart, separate people. I mean, the world's not going to understand us. You know, we're truly living for God if we're separated from the world. I mean, we can't go along with all their games, with all their scheming. We can't be entertained with all their junk and expect that it's not going to have an influence on us. No, God wants us to be different. Amen. He wants us to be set apart. And so be it. That's what he's expecting. That's what he hoped for old Israel there under the law. Amen. Amen. That was his hope. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more scripture here from the Old Testament. Let's go to Psalms 135 and read a little bit here. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Psalms 135, verse Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise Him. Oh, you servants of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Great things happen when we praise the Lord. Oh, my, troubles, trials, sickness. Oh, so many things can turn around when we praise the Lord. He says in verse 2, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Oh, praise the Lord, something happens. Oh, when we begin to praise the Lord, when we begin to sing praises unto the Lord with all our being, with all our heart, let it go, oh my. It could take us to another realm, amen. We could forget about all our trials and tests and even how sick we are and how difficult things are and how, you know, Aunt Martha is mad and, you know, Patty, you know, got upset and, you know, there's a terrible mess and everything else. Well, no. God knows how to get us in that place, those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So that, oh my, you know, we get in that place where He is. That place of refuge, that place of strength. Begin to praise Him, begin to worship Him, begin to sing His praises. Oh, get our mind off all the junk, all the hindrances in this world, and turn it over to the Lord Jesus. For it tells us in verse 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Oh, praise the Lord. But yes, God had chosen those people to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments, to keep His laws. Oh, yes, to do His will. Amen. To obey His voice. He had chosen them for His peculiar treasure. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament now because, oh yes, you know, old Israel is, it's kind of a sample of you know, what was yet to come. It's kind of a reference point. Oh yes, it's going to, you know, lead us to the Lord Jesus and the New Covenant. Amen. Let's go to Titus here to begin for a moment. Let's go to Titus. Praise the Lord. Okay. Titus. We're looking at the second chapter. And let's start with verse 11 here. And of course, you know, Titus is written under the New Covenant. Jesus Christ had come into this world, and the old covenant was taken out of the way there by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So, yes, Paul is writing to Titus here, and this is what he says in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Praise the Lord. Yep, that's God's expectations of His New Testament people. Yes, denying ungodly lusts. Oh, worldly lusts. Putting those things behind us. Rebuking them in the name of the Lord so that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. A life of repentance that's turned away from sin. Amen. That's looking toward the Lord Jesus Christ and relying on His promises. Amen. Verse 13 reads, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, our King, our God, the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is coming, oh yes, who is returning, and that's our blessed hope. that glorious appearing, when he comes for his people and also comes to judge this world in righteousness. And it explains in verse 14, the whole focus of the Lord Jesus' appearance here on this earth, initially his first coming, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, a people that didn't want to live in their sins, that don't have to live in their sins. That they have been redeemed. In other words, they've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And yes, how that purification comes. We come to him in repentance and surrendering of our will. We obey his plan to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, identifying with him in the waters of baptism, taking on his name in the waters of baptism. Amen. And then, yes, receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that purification process begins with, he begins to work on us. We come to him as we are, but we need to be refined. We're going to stand before the Lord. We need to be refined. How are we going to be ready? How are we going to be able to stand before the righteous one, the righteous judge, if he hasn't taken us through this process to purify us, to make us holy, to make us right, to make us like Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord. Yes, the purpose of his coming, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Praise the Lord. So we don't have to walk in those sins. We don't have to think those thoughts, or they try to sneak in. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. We put them down. We put the old man down. Oh yes. He purifies us unto himself, as his own peculiar people, his special, exclusive people. Praise the Lord, the shut-up ones that he has redeemed and bought for himself, that they might be his own peculiar treasure. Amen. And yes, his people are going to be zealous of good works. Oh, it's going to be a part of us to want to do what we can to help somebody else, and to please our God, and to do his will. Amen. That's all a part of it. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Yes, praise the Lord. All those words that were written to Titus, amen, by the Apostle Paul. But oh yes, it shows the plan of God, that how he came to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to another epistle. Let's go to 1 Peter here. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Amen. Nine says, but ye are a chosen generation. And yes, this book, or this epistle that Peter is writing, has been addressed to Gentile people, the strangers that were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Oh yes, the elect according to the knowledge, the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. And obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here he's addressing the people. Oh yes, because that new covenant, it wasn't just for one particular nation. It wasn't just for a specialized people, just the Jews. No, that door of salvation was opened up to all people. Whosoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of life freely. Amen. Those that would respond to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here, Peter is addressing the Gentiles that had been brought into the covenant and made part of the body of Christ, so that, you know, it's not Jew or Greek. It's not bond or free. It's not male or female. No, we all become the children of the living God. Amen. So here he is writing. Verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, these were the expectations that he had for his first covenant people, the Jewish nation. That was his hope, that they would be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. But they didn't do so well. And praise the Lord, the plan of God was to bring in his new covenant. And yes, oh yes, to bring in whosoever will, people from all backgrounds, nations. Oh yes, people from every tribe and, you know, language that is on this earth. Amen. And we would become, therefore, his chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation. See, oh man, that's what happened. A peculiar people. Oh, praise the Lord, God's great treasure, the shut up ones that he had reserved unto himself, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift salvation is. And oh, yes, with that, there are conditions. There were conditions with the first covenant, expectations that God had of those people, in order for them to be reserved as his own. Amen. But likewise it is with his new covenant people too. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Oh, praise the Lord. If we could just, somehow begin to grasp the greatness of the plan of God. Oh, the one that would put on flesh to come to this world. Oh, yes, to reconcile us so that we could be brought to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, so that we could be the children of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It tells us, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Oh, praise the Lord. Those trespasses, those sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. There, you know that account for those sins has been taken away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 20 tells us, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Oh, praise the Lord. What a gift. Jesus took our sin upon himself. He who knew no sin, that all we might be clothed in turn with his righteousness. Praise the Lord. What a gift we have been given. This wonderful salvation. And thus, if we can go to the next chapter here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, I want to read a few verses here, looking at verse 14 to begin. Verse 14 tells us, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Amen. Important to note that. Amen. It goes on to ask, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel?" I mean, oh my, it's a separation. When we come to the Lord, you know, there's a difference between dark and light. Darkness and light, there's a difference. So there's a difference between the world of sin and the world of the redeemed who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So yes, there is a separation that takes place, a very needful separation. And so thus we are told not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he asks too in verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Oh, idols never belonged in the temple of God under the old covenant. Well, things got pretty drastic after a while. All kinds of things were brought in, and all kinds of abominations. But oh my, that is entirely inappropriate and entirely despised by God. Thus it is with his people, because as we give our lives over to the Lord, we know that we become the temple or the dwelling place of the living God. And idols, anything associated with that, they do not belong in our lives. You know, there's a change. You know, these things have to go, these old man things. And, you know, initially we might not realize it all. We might not understand it. The Lord talks to us as he's refining us, purifying us. And, you know, we begin to comprehend, you know, things that are right, things that are wrong. You know, we study scripture and all things, you know, hit us at times. We may not have realized it, but praise the Lord for his mercy to show it to us. Yes, because we become the temple of the living God. As God has said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Praise the Lord. He comes to live in our beings, in our hearts. He comes to dwell inside of us so that, you know, we walk with the Lord. We talk with the Lord. He's our God. He's our, you know, go-to. He's our Savior. He's the one that we put our confidence, our trust, our faith in. Oh, he's that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. He becomes our all in all. Amen. Because, yeah, that's his desire. He would come and dwell in our hearts. He'd fill us with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, so that he would dwell inside. So we could walk with him. Just as Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the evening there before sin entered into the world. Oh, yes, it's a restoration. God coming back to bring forth a people, to reconcile a people, to dwell in them. Oh, yes, so they would be part of the temple of the living God, the dwelling place of the living God, and that he would be our God. Oh, and we would be his people. In other words, he's talking about his called out ones, the ecclesia being the church of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's our God, and we are his people. So we're told here in verse 17, he expects that we would be holy, thus that we would be separated, not mingling with the world, not doing the same things that they do, not observing all their ungodly things, looking at their trash, reading their trashy books and materials, the magazines that are far from God, doing things that are not subject to His will, going places that are not appropriate. Oh my, all those things that displease God. He's going to convict us. He's going to talk to our hearts. You know, we might not see and understand, but you know that little voice that speaks inside and says, correction needed. You know, listen, it's not too late. I'm sorry, you goofed there. You did something wrong. I'm sorry. You got off the track. Can't believe me, you don't want to get off the track. I remember, an individual saying to me years ago, and I thought this was, so real. He said, we don't know if you get off the track, if you'll ever get back on again. People slip and they slide, and I've seen it happen. I've seen people walk away. And God only knows if they're ever going to come back. Listen, oh my, we're in perilous times. Our Lord is coming soon. We're going to stand before Him. It's going to be over. And, what advantage would there be? What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? I'll tell you what, we don't want to walk off the track. No, this is no time to backslide. Our God is coming. He's coming soon. We're seeing all these things falling upon the face of the earth. And listen, there may be things that we had hoped for, goals and things that, we looked forward to, but if it doesn't please the Lord, if He would cause us to lose our soul, come on, that'd be the most horrible thing you could do. That's right. What can a man give in exchange for his soul? We're going to have to stand before the Lord, every one of us, and give an account of the things, the deeds that were done in our body. Amen. Oh my, we've got to listen, folks. We've got to hear it. So we're told here in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh, praise the Lord. Now, we don't want to dabble in unclean things. We don't want to participate in the ways of the heathen. I don't want anything to do with, their idolatry. But we're living in a confused time. I was asked the other day, how did I celebrate Halloween? I can't imagine celebrating Halloween. I can't imagine doing those things. They're abominations to the Lord. Oh, yes. All the occult and all of, those things that pertain. It's abominable in the sight of God. Harry Potter and all those works, they're going to be burnt up. We don't want anything to do with them. Oh, yes, those other heathen customs and holidays, things that are based in ungodly traditions and ways that do not have their roots in the Word of God, that come forth because of idolatry and practices from heathen people. We don't want anything to do with that. The Christmas thing years ago, we didn't know better. But thank God He began to show us. I still remember that film we saw. And it was a Britannica film. And it was, just done to show the traditions, the customs behind Christmas. And oh my, it was so amazing because every tradition that is held has its background before Jesus Christ, and in, for the most part, there may be a couple exceptions, I'm not sure, but almost everything has its custom going back before Jesus Christ. It's pagan ways. It's abominable. There's all kinds of ungodly things connected with it. I know when Pastor David and myself saw that film, we looked at each other and we said, why are we doing these things? Oh my, it was sobering. It was a moment of sudden realization. All at once, it was very apparent. You know, we are told, Book of Jeremiah, learn not the ways of the heathen. And oh my, how we need to regard that. Because, the world is full of heathen customs and practices. And God forbid that his set apart, sanctified people would be dabbling in such things. Oh, we must not, you know. People look at horoscopes. Oh, yeah, you know, they dabble in astrology. And often I think they don't understand. They don't, you know, they just, I don't know, maybe think it's fun, but oh man, it's not. It's forbidden in the Word of God. It's forbidden. It's forbidden. If we're trying to walk with God, if we've been called out, if we're part of the church, if we've called to separation, called to be holy, then oh my, we don't want to dabble in those unclean things. Anything that's abominable in the sight of God should be abominable in our sight too. Oh my. Now I'll tell you what, you don't want to go back. If the Lord has called you out of those things, don't go back to it. Oh my, it's not going to be well. And I pray, yes, yes, that God would give us discernment to be able to discern the good from the bad from the good, to know what is right, to know what is wrong, to walk in the ways of the Lord, and oh yes, oh my, to despise the things that God despises, to hate the things that he hates. Oh my, well, that's what he desires for his peculiar treasures, for his called out people, oh, that have come out of the world and into the kingdom of God. That command that we would be separated, amen, and touch not the unclean things. Listen, this is a command. This is an order. And he said, I will receive you, oh, our gracious, wonderful God, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he's called us unto separation. Oh, and told us not to touch those unclean things. Oh, those things that God despises. Oh, my. God forbid that we would go into those practices. Amen. I'm turning to Ephesians right now, the 5th chapter. You know what? I just feel like I didn't plan to read all of this, but I'm just looking at it right now and I think I need to read it. Yes, verse 1 here, Ephesians 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Oh, that fragrance, his people that are living a pure and holy life. Oh my, it's beautiful to God. It's sweet smelling. You know, in our whole life is to be given over to him. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. Amen. That's his expectation. And here we are told, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. These things should never be a part of our lives. Oh my, you know, fornication and of course adultery, and you know, fornication are those lustful deeds that are done between people that are not married. And then, you know, adultery when married people go out and step out and have relations with people that are not their spouse. All uncleanness, oh my, filthy, filthy things, homosexuality included in that, and all kinds of perversions that are getting to be quite common in this world that we live in right now, or covetousness. Oh my, we don't want to, you know, have that kind of greed and desire things that are not ours. No, let it not be once named among you as become a saint's. These are works of the flesh. Then he goes on to say, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, or in other words, appropriate. Oh my, you know, this lewd talk, this light talk, you know, just, you know, it you can go to an extreme where, you know, you just let go way too long or way too much. Yes, which are not convenient or appropriate, but rather giving of thanks. Oh, don't we want to have our minds in the Lord Jesus? You know, it's to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We better have our minds upon the Lord. He's going to come back. He's coming for a people that are looking for him without sin unto salvation. A people that are living in expectation of his coming, and therefore they're not going out and sinning and doing all these wicked, abominable things. No, not even wanting to, you know, because we fear God. We respect him, and we will want to be right in his sight. You know, we don't want to be dabbling in the world when he comes. He tells us here in verse 5, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6 tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. All light and darkness do not mix. There is a need for separation. Amen. There is a need. Oh, we can't be partakers with them. Oh, the wrath of God is going to fall upon the children of disobedience. And we don't want to be deceived with vain words. You know, come on. You know, this thing, you know, well, everybody sins, right? You know? I mean, God's not going to judge me if I do this or do that, or, you know, I participate in this or that. Well, come on. I mean, who are you deceiving? Yourself, with vain words. You know, if it's not right in God's eyes, then it's not right. It tells us here, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen. Oh, yes, we've got to walk in the light. Oh, that means, yes, being connected to God, for he is the light, and oh, walking in his ways, and not veering toward the darkness. No, we don't want to go toward the darkness in our walk with the Lord. Amen. We've been called out of the darkness. Amen. Into his glorious light, into his glorious kingdom. Amen. And therefore, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. God's thinking, God's ways, what he approves. Amen. Oh, yes. So we could present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. Oh, we don't want to veer out of the way. We don't want to get out of the way. No, we present our body a living sacrifice, a life that is dedicated to God. Come on, it might be hard at times. We might, have a rude awakening at one moment and realize, oh my, I cut off the track. I just steering toward the left, and I just forgot. Whatever, got careless maybe. But we're told in verse 11, yes, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And yes, I said it. Darkness and light do not mix. Here it's just clear. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. If we're living above sin, if we're not walking in their ways, it's going to be a form of reproof to those that are in darkness. Amen. It's going to be a testimony. They might not like it. They might mock. They might ridicule. They might despise us. They might, ignore us. They might, look at us funny. Maybe they talk behind our backs. But oh my, we've got to fear God. If we don't show them the way, then how are they ever going to know it? If we don't speak out and say it, how will they ever know it? It tells us here in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Oh, there's horrendous things out there. Oh man, time to plug your ears. There's things beyond that which we can tolerate or even want to hear of or speak of. Those terrible things done, those sins, the pedophile, the homosexuality, it goes on and on, doesn't it? Oh, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Yes, that light, that little flashlight of God. Oh my, it reproves the darkness. And that's so true. Brother Tim and I were talking about, flashlights a little bit. We were just saying in a very dark room, even, a very little light will glow brightly. And as we see it right now, the world is dark. It is dark, but oh, let there be a little light that shines. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan poop it out. I'm going to let it shine. Praise the Lord. I mean, that's the world we're in right now. It's dark, but oh my, if we could be a light, even a little match will glow in the darkness. Oh, praise the Lord. So yes, that little light, let it shine. Oh my, because all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It reveals the sin. We can live above that. We can stand above that. And we're going to be a light. We will reprove those works of darkness. They will be revealed or manifest by the light. So it tells us in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Hey, I'll tell you what, it is time to wake up. Oh my, it is time to awaken out of sleep. It's time to shake ourselves. Sleep, shake that sleep off. Oh my, all the other deadness. The lack of responses, all the things that we've ignored and been hindered by, it's no time to be dead. spiritually. No, it's time to walk in the light. Oh, to awaken ourselves, to arouse ourselves. Oh, to repent, to turn away from every evil work. Amen. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means cautiously, carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Oh yes, with wisdom, circumspectly, you know, around, you know, discreetly, walking, you know, in wisdom. Praise the Lord. And Christ will give us light. Amen. Praise the Lord. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Oh my, yes. Let us work while it is day. Jesus said, work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, we better redeem the time. We better make our time count. There's going to be an end to time. In fact, there's an end for, you know, all of us have limitations. Our life is limited. And after it's over, it's eternity. It's eternity. Eternity is forever. Eternity doesn't end. Yeah, we've got to redeem the time now. We've got to do what is right now. Amen. Because the days are evil. Amen. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Oh, that will, yes, that we walk in wisdom. Oh, yes, that we would be given over to the will of God. That we present our bodies that living sacrifice. That we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not conformed to the world. Listen, it's much easier to conform, to do what everybody else does, dress like everybody else does, to, you know, go where everybody else goes, to think like they think, you know, to read their materials, to, you know, do their same things. Conformity. But no, God's people. Yes, Brother Samuel. Don't conform to this world. No. We must be transformed. In other words, we're changed. From that person that we once were. Yes, we're changed. You know, we put on Christ. We don't walk in those ways. We leave them behind. Oh my, it's going to be over. Yes, so praise the Lord. The help of the Lord. We get through this. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Tells us, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the oil in our lamps. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we don't want to be drunk with the things of this world. But that need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's how we stay in the court of the Lord. Oh, filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Ghost, oil in our lamps. Oh, yes, we nurture. Oh, yes, the things of God. We could do it by speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is a savior. He is the savior of the body. In other words, he's the provider for the body, for the things, the temporal things. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. We love you, God. We praise you, Lord. Our Savior came to this world, yes, to buy a people. Is something wrong, Anna? Praise the Lord. God's purpose and his plan to come to this world so that he might bring forth a church, his ecclesia, his called out ones, his set apart people, his peculiar treasure. Amen. Oh, the will of God, the plan of God. Amen. A people that have been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, who've turned their lives over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, that he might present it to himself, oh, the plan of God, that he would have a people, a peculiar people, a set-apart people, a people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be a set-apart people, his own treasure, his own peculiar people, his jewels. Praise the Lord, his acquisition. Oh, praise the Lord, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord, we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, folks. We've been set apart, oh, as his own peculiar treasure. Oh, yes, we've been called out of the world, out of the darkness, that we might walk in his glorious light. And, oh, my, that we might have fellowship with our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, he came to this world to sanctify a people, to cleanse a people, to make them holy, in other words, to cleanse them from their sin, the thing that separated us from God. Sin separates us from God. We don't want him to be any part of that world. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by his word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful gift of God. His great desire that he would bring forth a people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Praise the Lord, that would show forth the praises of our God. Amen, a redeemed people. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Oh, you've called us out of darkness, amen, into thy glorious light. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just turn here as I get ready to close here to Philippians here for a moment. Philippians, praise the Lord. Oh, my Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Looking at Philippians here, the second chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, with great carefulness. He has to rightly divide the word of truth. Oh, yes, to be diligent, to study to show ourselves approved unto God. For it is God, verse 13, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh, our attitude. And here it tells us in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Praise the Lord. Oh, blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, of a nation that has gone the wrong way, a people that have gone the wrong way, a people that walk in darkness, a people that walk in wickedness. Oh, God doesn't want his people to be like that. Indeed, we can't be like that. Oh, there's no way we'll be approved if we walk in that way, in that realm, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God has for himself reserved a people, a called out people, a chosen people. Oh, praise the Lord. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A church that is holy and without blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. A peculiar people. Praise the Lord. A treasure unto the Lord. A people that have given themselves over to the will of God. And walk in his ways and do his will. Praise the Lord. God's peculiar people. Oh, praise the Lord. You love him tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, you know every need. You know every burden. You know every detail, Lord. I pray that you would work in our hearts. Oh, God, that you would make us holy, that you would cleanse us of all impurities. Oh, God, that you'd help us to be that set apart, holy nation. Oh, God. Oh, God, that people, that peculiar people, those set apart ones that live and work for thee, Lord, and are thy particular treasure, Lord, thy peculiar people. Oh, thank you, Lord, the glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord, that chosen generation and royal priesthood, holy nation and peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You love him tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Give the Lord your best. Give him your whole being. Amen. Serve him faithfully and do his will. Amen. That you may be that peculiar treasure, that peculiar people for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So praise the Lord, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we love you, God, and we praise you, Jesus. Oh God, let every work of darkness be rebuked in the name of the Lord. Oh God, let every work of darkness be rebuked in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, work in us. Oh God, help us, Lord, for we're poor and needy. We need you, Jesus. We pray that you'd work in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we will be singing a song in just a moment to close out the service here tonight. But before we do that, we should pray for Jane. My wife came and picked her up and is taking her to the emergency room because apparently both her arm and her leg are spasming. And she's probably on the verge of having another seizure. She's been having a terrible time trying to control these, and we don't know exactly what's wrong, and the doctors are trying to figure it out, too, and it's been a puzzle to them as well. But we'll pray for her and just pray that this will be taken care of and that there won't be any serious consequences. Let's pray for Jane. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night on behalf of Jane. We ask, Lord, that thou would touch her. We pray, Lord, that thou would heal her. We ask, Lord, that thou would move upon her right now. We pray, Lord, that whatever is causing these spasms, whatever is causing these seizures, whatever is causing these stress issues in her mind, we pray, Lord, that thou would touch her and move upon her in a mighty way. Bring her relief. Bring her healing, complete healing, we pray. 100% deliverance, we ask. We pray, Lord, that thou would work miracles in her life. We pray that she would reach out to thee in faith, trusting in thee as the healer and as the Savior. We pray, Lord, that she would trust thee with her whole heart, Lord. And we pray that she would look to thee, Lord, as the author and the finisher of her faith, Lord. We pray that thou would work miracles for her. We pray, Lord, that thou would be with her on her behalf, Lord. We ask, O God, for thy mercy and for thy grace. And we pray, Lord, that whatever is done at the hospital tonight, that it all would be to her benefit. And we pray, Lord, that thou would give all the medical personnel wisdom and direction. And we pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. And yes, please do keep her in prayer. Oh, you know, the doctors think her seizures are caused by stress. The problem is almost every little thing stresses her out more than they should. So obviously there's something going on here. I think, you know, it might even be a side effect from the medication that she's on. But it seems like the medication they put her on doesn't really work, and yet they tell her she can't get off it because if you stop it cold turkey, they say you can have a massive seizure and, you know, you're worse off than before. So it's kind of sneaky, I think, for them sometimes to put you on a medication that they say you can't easily get off of. So, but they do that sort of thing sometimes. So just please keep her in prayer, and hopefully we'll have a good report later on. We're going to sing a chorus in closing, number 156 in the chorus book, If We Walk in the Light, number 156. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, if we walk in the light, blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Praise the Lord God. Well, God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.